named Shabbos Shuva. And there is no Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. This year, we have the benefit of laying Parshas Hazinu between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So obviously a lot of lessons to be learned from this Parsha. One thing, here's some things that struck me. Begin the Parsha Hazinu, we just came out of Yom Kippur, everyone is on a high, everyone has an emotional roller coaster, we go through Yom Kippur, we are cleansed from our sins, everyone is optimistic, it's going to be a new year, bracha, and success, and life. It's a very good feeling. No, we come out of Yom Kippur, today is a very beautiful day. Today, when Yom Kippur is over, people have a spring in their step. Is that the expression?
A spring
in their step. The day after Yom Kippur
it's the caffeine.
It's not just the caffeine, there's a certain mood. You go to davening, there's a certain good mood, cleansed, lightened, and we begin to prepare Parshas Hazinu, and we read, Hazinu HaShamayim V'Adaber V'Hishmarzim V'Yifin. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shani Mas Shebuchem B'Yisrael, I'm giving you a warning. Watch out. V'tiyu Atem Eidim B'Dovar. The Shamayim and the Arish will be witnesses. Shekach Amar Lochem. Sh'Atem Tiyu Eidim. V'chein Tishm Aretz. V'lom Ohed Bohem. Shamayim Aretz. Amar Moshe. Ani Bosham. Lemachar ani meis. I'm going to die. I'm going to die very soon. Im yomu Yisrael loy kibalnu aleinu habris niba umach chisham. Lefichach heid bochem shamayim varis. The shamayim and the aris will be around forever, and they will serve as witnesses to testify against the Jewish people if they fail to do the mitzvahs. So isn't Moshe like a party spoiler? We just finished Yom Kippur. We just finished the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. We worked very hard. The goal is Zochreinu L'Chayim. Melech Chofetz V'Chayim V'Chaseinu B'Sefer HaChayim. We just spent an entire week working to achieve life. And then, when we begin the parasha, Moshe says, L'mochar ani mes. First Rashi, the first thing we read, Hazinu, the next day is, I'm going to die. If Moshe's going to die, what is there left for us to say about ourselves? And therefore, I have to go and set up the Shemayim, the Aris, the witnesses, what we're going to do in the future. Moshe Rabbeinu is a party spoiler. Is that the right expression? A party, he's ruining the party. Now is not the time to give us musa. When we finish, you know, the rabbi, he gives a drasha before Ne'ilah. I don't know, some shuls, the rabbi gives a fiery drasha before Ne'ilah. Could you imagine you have a shul when you have an incredibly inspiring Ne'ilah, and after Ne'ilah is over, before Ma'arif, the rabbi says, okay, Yom Kippur is over, Rabbi Sai, you're all going to die. This is not the right tone to set. What's going on over here? This is how Chazal set up the psukim. Set up. Chazal arranged the parashios in a very precise order. And Hazinu was meant to be read right after Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, we're on a high. We have achieved life. Zochreinu l'chayim. And the first Rashi has to go tell us that the Moshe Rabbeinu says, L'mochor ani meis.
But he lived
down
to 20 years. He completed his life.
It's never good to die. Whenever. Dying is never good. Just because a person is 120 years, it doesn't mean it is never a good day to die. It's just not the right thing. It's just not. Everything has a time and a place. It does not seem to be fit to read about Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people, I'm going to die tomorrow, and therefore, let me go and warn you and tell you that you're all going to suffer for not doing Hashem's mitzvahs. Yeah.
John Gurney also did right before he died.
Okay, but we don't read about that. I'm talking about Chazal arranged the parashas when they should be read.
And they do. That's where he's going to die. So that's where he has to be the Muslim. That's how the murder came out.
It's not the Hashgacha practice that we should read Chazinu right after Yom Kippur, it's just not, doesn't sit well. Chazal arranged when to lay in the Toichacha. The Toichacha should be laying right before Shavuos, right before Rosh Hashanah. Tichle Shana v'kilaloi Seha, Tachel Shana v'rachai Seha. This is not the right place to talk about the first Rashi in the Chumash after Yom Kippur. I'm going to die. L'moch ani meis, and if I want to go warn you, what is going on over here? So the answer I want to suggest is Adarav. I once mentioned this to you, the name of Herschel Shachar. He said, whatever happened in Yom Kippur, this is what he said, I'm just quoting him, was no good. What do you mean no good? What did they do in Yom Kippur? They took a tongue of wool. A tongue of wool, they dyed it in red. They split it. They put half of the wool on the horn of the So'ir HaMishtaleach. And they put the other half of the wool on the front door of the Beis HaMikdash. And they sent off the So'ir HaMishtaleach off the cliff.
Which was the front door?
I'm not sure which front door. One of the gates. I'm not sure if it was the Shai Nikonor, if it was the Shav of the Ezras Nashim. It says it's in the Gemara. They put the tongue, they put half the wool on the gate, half the wool on the animal. They send the So'ir HaMishtaleach. And what happened? One of two things. If Klal Yisrael did teshuvah, then the wool on the So'ir HaMishtaleach and the wool in the front door miraculously turned white. And if the white, and if it remained red, crimson, nothing happened, that meant that, and what was the sin? If it miraculously turned white when they threw the animal off the cliff, it meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven the sins of Klal Yisrael. And if it did not turn white, if it remained crimson, then what did that mean? It meant that Hashem is not happy with us. And Hashem did not forgive our sins. So if Herschel Shach the Shlita said that whatever happened was no good. If it remained red, it's a panic. Today would be a panic. Everyone would be hiding for cover. Hashem did not forgive Klal Yisrael for their sins. We're in a lot of trouble. We got big problems here. You think Yom Kippur is over? We're first starting. We're starting fast every day until we figure out what's going to be. That's no good. If it remains red, it's really no good. What happens if it turns white? It's even worse. Why? Complacency. Oh, it turned white. I got credit. I got a lot of credit now. Let's go to the movies. Right, whatever. It's like, oh, Baruch Hashem. Today, a little Lashon Hara. Tomorrow, a little of this. Tomorrow,
we'll have to improve.
What? We'll improve. Hanukkah time, you know. We'll after the latkes and the donuts, we'll consider. You know, we'll consider it. But in the meantime, off to the races. This is the human condition. Complacency is the human condition. So the miracle of it turning white is not such a good miracle. Because when it turns white, what does it mean? Yeah, very good. Our sins are all forgiven. And now what? It's the human condition. I got credit. No, you don't feel like this? You know, when Yom Kippur is over, when you daven Ma'ariv, Mitzoyah Makipurim, you daven Ma'ariv the same way? You daven Ma'ariv the same way? You run home the same way? It's not the same. This
seems to me much worse if it stays red.
What? Is it really worse? Think about it. It seems to be worse, right? But is it really worse when you're worried, when you have Yira Shamayim, when you think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you know Hashem didn't forgive our sins, you know, maybe I should daven Ma'ariv a little slower. Maybe when I eat dinner, when Yom Kippur is over, I should actually make a bracha and say the words and really recite Birchas
HaMazon.
What?
They had time by the Yigla.
When the person knows what's going on, it's scary business. This is not a assembly. Complacency is not a pleasant thing. So this is Herschel Shach, as he says this. So based upon what he said, this parasha is very appropriate. It's very appropriate. In fact, it could not be more perfect. Yom HaKippurim is over. Baruch Hashem. We have emunah that the wool has turned white. It has turned white. We have emunah pshuta. But it's Shabbos. It's coming. It's Erev Shabbos. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim va'adabera v'sishma ha'aretz imreifi. First Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Omar Moshe ani bosar v'dam l'mochar ani meis. It ain't over. Just because you got through Yom HaKippur and you were mispalel, z'choinu l'chayim. L'chayim tovim l'sholayim. So what? It's all over now. You can go do whatever you want now. Hazinu Hashmaim. There's the Shemaim, the Aretz, they bear witness to everything that you do. L'mochar animes. If Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gadol Sheba Anokim, if he's going to die, well, we're not going to die. We're not going to have to give Din V'Cheshbon. The most appropriate time for the Musar of Moshe Rabbeinu, and believe me, Hazinu is jam-packed with heavy, heavy Musar, is specifically Mitzoya Makipur. Complacency should never have a place at your table. The Yom Ram are over. From here on in, it only gets better. The year of Shemayim, the seriousness, the benefits, should be something that we take with us, not, all right, Baruch Hashem, we got through this, and go right here.
I have a question. Let's say, for example, when King Menashe was king for 55 years, and he was a big Russian. So in those 55 years, first of all, did they even do the Abayit?
No, of course not. First of all, he was only Russia for how many of those 55 years? Not all of the 55 years was he in Russia.
Yeah, but he caused the other people, since he was not the Tshuva.
Yeah, Omoyin, you're right. Okay.
So there were many years that they...
Ma'a Shehoye Kvar Hoye. We're not up to that. Right now we're holding now. And Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael has enjoyed an incredible Yom Kippur. You go ask the survivors of the Holocaust in 1945. Ask them, what will Judaism look like in 2021? No one in the wildest imagination could imagine the scene in every single shul in Klal Yisrael. No one, wherever you died, you would show this to any one of the survivors. Here, this, I'm sure, I have no doubt, every single person here died in a place of incredible slavos. Incredible. I mean, I davened yesterday, I was blown away. And during the break, I had a very long break. So I went to Chaim Berlin to wash. I was blown away when I saw it. Walked in there for 20 minutes. Upstairs, downstairs. Unbelievable. And you just walk in the streets, and everyone you talk to, they'll tell you about the davening, whether you're in Lakewood, Far Rockaway, Eretz Yisrael. Got right away an email yesterday from someone in Eretz Yisrael who never had such a meaningful davening. Eretz Yisrael, what was going on? It's incredible. Not unbelievable. What a bracha. A bracha beyond belief. But now comes the real challenge. Now comes the complacency. The soya. And that, Chazal, the Chachmasam, arranged that we should read this parasha immediately after Yom Kippurim. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ani Bosa V'dam. I'm just Bosa V'dam. L'mochar Ani Nes. Very unusual words to say in the first Rashi, the day after, the Chosmeinu b'sefer hachai. We're going to live forever. Don't talk about death. Come on. No. This is serious business. Complacency is a very frightening principle. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's something over here which I caught my attention. We say in Shemona Esrei every single day, a very unusual expression. And we know you have Baruch Shem Hashem in Sidur, and this year we spend a lot of time on these words. In the first bracha, we call Hashem, he's a Kel Elyon, who is Koinei Shamayim Baretz. What does that mean? Okay, Avraham, look at Yitzchak, look at Yaakov. Kel Elyon. Gomel Chasadim Tavim V'Koinei Yaakov. Zor Chaseh, what am I saying? Baruch Atah Hashem Lokeinu 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 Avraham Lokeinu Lokeinu Yaakov Kel Hagadol Hagibor Vanirua Kel Elyon Gomel Chasadim Tavim V'Koinei Hakol. Hashem is Koinei Hakol. What does that mean? Literally it means Hashem acquires. It almost sounds like Hashem goes to the store, or today you don't go to the store, you go to Amazon and you type in the world, W-O-R-L-D, comes up, Earth, meaning, oh, Hashem puts in his credit card. Credit card, press the button, Prime. Next day it comes Prime, the world, right? Hashem purchased this world. He purchased all of us as his servants. Right? That's the way, that's what it means. Isn't that what it means? Isn't that what it means to tell to a child? What else does it mean?
Oh, that's cool. That's a strange
translation. He acquires everything. So we spend a lot of time, we're not going to go, we spend a lot of time studying the parish of Avraham Avinu.
Avraham is kind of the kli that he makes because of the shemash of the kli.
Okay, there may be...
Eder Shalelam, by virtue of creating the world, is the kli that I call
So it's okay, obviously it doesn't, I'm just making like some jokes here, but obviously it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by creating the world, he automatically takes possession. But it's an unusual expression. You know, the Shemoneh Esrei is written for the common man. It doesn't go well. It doesn't really fit well. So we spend a lot of time discussing Avraham Avinu, the story where Avraham, he overcame the 9 kings. There was a world war. 5 kings went to battle, 4 kings went to battle against the 5 kings, and the 4 kings prevailed, and then Avraham went to war against them, and Avraham wiped them all out. And at the end, Malchim, the king of Sodom, Yetzei Melech Sodom to Avraham, and he said, Baruch Avraham, Lekel Elyon, Koinei Shamayim Baratz. And we spent a lot of time, not a lot of time, developing, understanding that the depth of what it means, the Koinei HaKol, now Shemoneh Esrei, is related very much to what it says, a Koinei by Melech Sodom. Melech Sodom says, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koinei Shamayim. So that's a separate topic.
Melech Sodom said that.
Right, Melech Sodom said that about Avram. Malki Tzedek? I'm sorry, Malki Tzedek. Okay, Mr. Elman, he'll catch me on anything Tanakh, he knows this, Mam's chapter and verse, literally. Baruch Hashem, yeah, people here like that. Malki Tzedek said, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koinei Shemayim Arutz. Okay, so we spent a lot of time, Hashem Migain, Tzarecha Biyodecha, Baruch Atah Hashem Magain Avraham. Okay, the entire first bracha is Mamish written out in the story of Malki Tzedek and Avram Avinu. Absolutely. Okay, that's one approach. But Ayin Panim L'Toyra. Kipatish Yifetzei Tzela. There's a pasuk over here. It says, Mr. Elman, you can tell me that I can't find the place over here. Chu Konecha in the first, in the Li over here. Yarkiveyu in the beginning of Hazinu. Okay, I was just preparing this a few, not so long. Here it is. Hal Hashem Tigmul Uzois. Do you behave in an inappropriate way? Am novol v'loy chacham, halaychu avicha konecha. Is not Hashem your father? Konecha. What does that mean? Who purchased you? Oh, excellent. So Rashi here goes to town and he gives 3 interpretations of the word konecha. 3 interpretations. So you do know it. Konech. Now let me read you Rashi's 3 interpretations. A beautiful Rashi. Number 1. Shekonacha. Number 1. Hashem purchased you. American Express. He purchased you. Okay, he didn't trust the Israeli shekel. He wasn't confident. He used the American Express card. Okay, konech. Number 2, shekinin, I'm not sure I'm reading, I don't know the likudus here. Shekinincha bekan. He I don't want to say the word established, he established you in a nest. The word konech means he made for you a nest, like a bird's nest. A cane. Kan tzipor. The nest of a bird, shiluach a cane. A nest, like a bird. A bird, and a bird needs a home. So where is our nest? We were just wandering Jews. We were slaves in Egypt. We were nomads. Where did Avram come? He came from Aram Naharaim. He came from the land of Bavel, swampland. He wandered the earth. Hashem made him a promise. No? What happened? But the end was, he ended up in Mitzrayim, go here, go there, we go to Egypt. No, Hashem gave us a nest, a place to call home. And what is that? Bekan Hasloim uvi Eretz Chazoka. Hashem gave us a strong homeland, Eretz Yisrael. Next, Shetiknecha, Shetikencha, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. I don't have my nikudos. My other chumash I use has dots. It has the hechsher of the Department of Transportation. The badats. Okay, the Shetikencha b'chol minei takana. Takana, what's a good word for takana?
Fixed
you. They have some good English words for this. He established you. He fixed you, he established you. Rashi is giving for us three translations of the word hu asich, hu avicha, konech. And again, the big chumash, the ikar, the sifsei chacham. Here they only have the ikar sifsei chachamim. But if you look at the full version of the sifsei chacham, he really goes to town. He really rips this Rashi to pieces. And he takes every word of this Rashi and he explains what's bothering Rashi. What is Rashi doing over here? He's giving one perush, two perushim, three perushim. He elaborates upon this Rashi, and he comes out that Rashi is really giving us three completely separate possible translations for this word. Hu avicha, the Ribbono Shlolem is your father, and haloi hu avicha konech. Hashem has done three things for us. Number one, he acquired us. Okay? He acquired us. No, it's fine. He acquired us. Thank you very much. No, it's good. He acquired us. He selected us. Okay? He selected. We are the Am HaNivcho. Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ho'amim. V'nosan Lanu Es Toiroso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has acquired us. He has taken us under his wings. He adopted us. Legally. Okay, we're not just squatters by him. We are his child. B'ni b'chorei Yisrael. He acquired us. Number two, he gave us a homeland. He gave us a nest. An Eretz Chazok, Rashi says. In the Kan Hasaloi. Okay, in the rocks, in the stronghold of the world. And number three,
a secure homeland.
A secure homeland. And number three, what else did Hashem do? He established us. He gave us whatever we need. You need money? He has money. You need good health? He has good health. You need food? He has food. You want some kavod? I'll give you some kavod also. Whatever you want, you get. He gave us every bracha there is in this world. He gave it all to us. That's what it means, konech. It's a word that you really can't, you can't force into one translation. Rashi, this is Rashi. Now this is the bread and butter. You can argue with Rashi. Go back now to Shemona Esrei. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. I told you before Rosh Hashanah. These words, Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov, is the gematria exactly Tav Shin Pei Beis. Haloi Dava. Hakel Hagodol Hagibor V'Hanayra Kel Elyon Gomel Chasodim Toivim V'Koinei Hakol. Why do we say this word? Yes, I want to suggest a drush based upon this Rashi. The word V'Koinei, besides what we said about Malki and Tzedek, but being that we've just mentioned Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we also mentioned Godol Gibor V'Hanayra, which is a separate drush, and we once spoke about it, Godol Gibor, the Hanayra corresponds directly to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then we go Gomel Chasodim Toidim V'Koinei Hakol. The word V'Koinei Hakol is the synthesis of the blessings that Hashem has given to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the three translations of the word. Hu avicha, halo, hu avicha, konech. What was the first translation? Hashem acquired us. He selected us. Who did Hashem select first? Where did the selection begin? Avraham. Avraham. The whole world was on one side, and one man stood up to the whole world. Avraham was the one that was makir, the Zabal Habira. Avraham was the one who went through the Nisyonos, the 10 Nisyonos. Ato yodati ki yirei elokim atav lechosach tespincha sichitcha mineni. Ki vorech avorechecha veharbe arbe zaracha ki chechve ha-shamayim lo'oy. It's a pasuk. Don't make this up. It's a pasuk. The Akedah. Hashem selected Avraham Avinu. The first Pshat in Rashi. The second Pshat in Rashi. He gave us a stronghold in Eretz Yisrael. This is a little more difficult, but who really, from all of the others, the one that has the achiza, this is not my word, this is, ki bi Yitzchak yikaru lecha zarach. We focus on bi Yitzchak, v'loi kol Yitzchak. Yitzchak represents more than Yaakov and Avraham Eretz Yisrael. Why? Well, number one, Yitzchak never left the land. Yitzchak was born and bred in the Holy Land. Yitzchak was offered as a korban in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak is Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak dug the be'eros. He developed the land. He developed the land, Yitzchak. Not Avraham, not Yaakov. Yitzchak. He's the one, the whole parasha about the Be'eros, this bear, that bear. He renewed the Be'eros of his father, and he dug new Be'eros, and he found the last one was Rechoivos. Ki hirchiv Hashem lanu uforinu ba'aretz. Who does it say that about? Yitzchak, not Avraham, not Yaakov. Yitzchak is Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and Tisha B'Av, we don't spend enough time focusing on that. That even though Hashem promised, Lech Lecha, Me'artzcha, Me'latcha, Me'sadich Le'artzcha, Er'artzcha, Sha'arecha, yeah, that's right, Hashem. It starts with Avraham, ends with Yaakov. But the one that really puts the nail in is Yitzchak. And the proof is in the pudding. He never left the land. He's the only one that lived his entire life from beginning to end in Eretz Yisrael. Never left for a moment. He was offered as a korban in the land. He's the one who dug all the be'eros. And the one that said, when he dug the last be'er, this is called Rechoivos, ki hirchev Hashem lanu, uforinu, we will prosper in this land. This is the nest. The nest, the kan hasaloim. This is the Eretz Chazaka. The second parish of the word Konech. The third parish is Shetiknecha b'chol minei takonot. He gave you everything you possibly need. Yaakov Avinu, give you an example. Yaakov Avinu, when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, what did he do? He made takonos. It says in Rashi, he minted coins. He made a market shavakim. Where is the Rashi in Parshas Vayishlach? Yaakov Avinu, he didn't just live in the land. He set up takonos in the land. He established the land with, what's the pasuk? Yaakov Avinu, after he finished with Vayiken es pnei ho'ir. Didn't say it's in the same word. Isn't it amazing? It's the same word. Vayiken es pnei ho'ir. Remember that pasuk here somewhere? That's a pasuk by Yishlach, by Yiken. Rashi there, after he met with Esav and he settled in the land, and Rashi there says he made takonos in the land. He established markets. He established a health system, public health, bathhouses. People should be clean, showers. Disease should not spread. You know, he was the first one. They named a hospital after Maimonides, because he was a doctor. How come they never named the hospital after Yaakov Avinu? He's the first one to institute public health. He made a takana. He made merchatzos, bathhouses. Yaakov Avinu. We have to make a hospital. We have to name it after Yaakov Avinu. He was the first.
Jacoby.
Okay, you got me. Yaakov Avinu made, he was the first one to institute public health. Yaakov Avinu, he made the economy. He minted coins in Eretz Yisrael. By Yiken es Pnei Ho'ir. Yaakov Avinu was appreciated what it means, I made for you Takonai. So now I think it's a solid idea. We have in this week's parasha, Haloi Hu Avicha. Is Hashem not your father? Konecha. Why did Chazal insert that word in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei? You ask anyone, can you translate the word konecha? what does it mean? Well, let me look at the art scroll. It's not an easy word to translate. He established you. He created you. He formed you. I mean, it's a hard word to translate. It really is. You got to go to the source. Where does it come from? Okay, so it's really powerful. Malkit said it. It's really there. But it's here in Hazinu as well. And Hazinu Rashi spells out three translations of the word. And it's not a coincidence that these three translations of the word, or three ways to use the word, and the grammar of each one is not perfect. That's why it can be all three, as the Rashi elaborates, and the Sifsei Chachamim, nitpicks on the grammar of what is Rashi trying to do. You're violating every rule of grammar that you invented.
I got to mention interesting. The art scroll had always struck me as a funny translation of the words V'koinei HaKol.
Yeah, what do they write?
So he says here, some translate V'koinei HaKol as the owner of everything.
The owner. Hashem is the owner.
But that's not the consensus of opinions, he says. No.
That's satisfying.
He translates it, if you look, it says, and creates everything.
Creates, the creator.
Creates everything.
The creator.
So he says, creates everything. This translation is based on the consensus of commentators, both here and to Gracious 1419. That creates.
Malkit Tzedek. Malkit Tzedek. He's quoting from Malkit Tzedek. The Koinei HaKol, right. And I think that's the Pashup Shara. Hashem is the creator.
Yes.
Absolutely. Not a mikro yoitze midei pshutai.
Maybe a second comment before I was the fourth.
But it's
interesting. The Gemara recently spoke about the seven shepherds, the seven rowan. What are they? David HaMelech is in the center.
Yeah.
And you have three before, Noah, Malkit Tzedek, the one with Methuselah, and after David it says Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay.
So then everyone asks, what happened to Yitzchak?
Right.
So some of the answers say Yitzchak went to, Eretz Amim, to gather the people. So it's interesting. He's the one that. We're just speaking about, he's the one who left Eretz Israel. He's the one who left Eretz Israel to gather to gather together the exile.
Okay, so let's review the word konecha. There are three translations. They correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And in the Shemoneh Esrei, where we focus on Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Hagodol, Hagiborvi, Hanayra. And now we synthesize all three together with the words Kel El Koinei HaKol. Hashem creates everything, acquires everything, but in the bigger picture of things, Hashem, He establishes you, gives you, He acquired you, Avraham, He selected you, He is Koinei HaKol by providing for you Eretz Yisrael. And number three, everything you can possibly need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, Hazinu is a very hard parasha, obviously. There's a lot of Musa in this week's parasha. Rashi really goes to town. Rashi develops it. At the end of the parasha, at the end of the Shira, Rashi says, he went through the entire, his parish told us the entire Shira, which includes harsh Musar, from the perspective, from the point of view that the Musar is being directed towards Klal Yisrael. But at the end, he tells us, you know what? There's another interpretation. The other interpretation is that the Musar is not direct towards Klal Yisrael, it is directed towards the Umayis Ha'olam, towards the nations of the world. Okay, let's see at the end of the Rashi, in the Parsha. Ki es ha'shmai afilu cholosh. I'm reading over here, Melchus Vadon. This is not it, 1 second. Okay. No, here. Let's see if I can find it over here. Yodin Hashem, which we read the pasuk. Which pasuk? Ki es Hashem Yodi, k'moi ki nosasi tamid. Okay, afilu cholosh, kol shchein makom shchunasi. Avra marti, any ma'alef erashiyos you can know what's been done. Avra michalim mishnoisi, shedina. No, I can't find it over here. The necho, here it is. Now I found it. Okay, it's a little bit further back. The chiper ad masa. Okay, that's the part where he's repeating it. It's Rashi goes through it twice. Pasuk mem gimel, the first mem gimel, because he goes through it really twice. The chiper ad masa, mahi ad masa amay. Kisha amay misnachemim arzay misnachemes. V'chein hu omer retzisi v'chulu. And then he goes on to say b'fanim, b'fanim achirim. Okay, and it's in Rashi pasuk mem gimel. Rashi Pasuk in the middle of Pasuk Mem Gimel, the first time he presents Mem Gimel, because he goes through the parasha really twice, and he writes here the words Bifonim Achelim and Achlini Dreshes Besifrei. V'nechlu Kulbo Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya Rabbi Yehuda Doresh Kulu Keneged Yisrael. He interprets the Shira, which is harsh Musar, directed towards Klal Yisrael. Hashem is warning the Jewish people, you're going to suffer if you don't behave. V'Rabbi Nechemya Doresh Es Kulo Keneged Hu Umos. And this Musar is not towards us, it's all to be interpreted as punishment towards the nations of the world. Can I get the Umars? And then Rashi, he then goes on to reinterpret the entire parasha from beginning to end, not entirely, where the Pesukim can be understood as Musar and punishment towards the nations of the world. So we have over here what we call a Shira. Hazdinu ha'ashmai v'adaber. And Rashi tells us, he tells us the Sifrei, there's a machlokes. It's harsh Musar. Is the Musar towards us, the Klal Yisrael, or is the Musar towards the nations of the world? Okay, machlokes. Now what's very interesting is...
Mem Gimel,
you have to, the Chibad Musar, you have to go down... Go down a couple of lines, 2-3 lines. You'll see where it says Bifanim Achedim, the first Mem Gimel, because he goes through the parashas. Bifanim Achedim, right? Shabbos Shavus Yaakov. Bifanim Achedim he nidreshes b'sifrei. Okay, he presents over there Nechel Kubo Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya. Pasuk Mem Gimel in the middle of Mem Gimel. Bifanim Achedim. In the middle of Mem Gimel. I'll show it to you after. You have the English or the regular article? You have a different article. I have to show you my Chumash. All right, I'll show it to you later. Now here's the issue. How is the Shira written? The Shira is written like Aseres B'nei Haman. Isn't that interesting? When we have Shiras Hayam and Shiras Devorah, how is the Shira constructed? How is it written? Oriach al gabe levena. An oriach it means a half stone on top of a levena upon a full stone, like bricks, like bricks in the building. Why is Shiras Hayam presented in the Torah like a building? because this is permanent. This is, there's a structure to the success, to the success of Klal Yisrael. Aseres b'nei Haman, the Gemara asked the question in the Megillah, why is the Aseres b'nei Haman presented in the Megillah as two columns with nothing in the middle? That's because it's not sustainable. When a small little wind comes, what happens? It collapses. It is not sustainable. Shaloi tehei tekuma l'soneim shel Yisrael. It was written deliberately because in the Aseres b'nei Haman is hidden all of the enemies of the Jewish people, and it's put in the Megillah in such a fashion so that it should be a simon, it should be a bakasha, that our enemies should have no standing, should have no backing, and they should collapse. As soon as the wind comes and blows on them, they should collapse thoroughly and be destroyed. So we have Shiras Devoira, Shiras Hayam, what are the shiras that we have that are written like this? I don't remember anymore. But these shiras that are good for Klal Yisrael are written in such a way which represents the tekuma, the establishment of Klal Yisrael. Haman, and what about also, and also another example of the 31 kings of Canaan. In Canaan, when they conquered the land, so it says all 31 kings were obliterated, and their names are presented also just like the Aseres b'nei Haman in a one column. So here's the question. Why then is Hazinu written as two columns? Look at the Sefer Torah. They're written as two columns. Now, if Hazinu is a shira for Klal Yisrael, it should be written Ariach Agabi Levena. Ariach Agabi Levena. It's called a shira. It's musa, and the musa indeed is what gives us the kuma. And if it's meant for us, you can't say it's bad, because even though it's very frightening what it says, but if it's directed to Klal Yisrael, there's always going to be bracha present. It should be written, Ariach Agabi Levena. It should be written in such a way where it's, you know, Ariach Agabi Levena, like Shira Sayan. But it's not. It's written as two columns, which represents a collapse. So, very simple. I want to present an idea. If this refers to our enemies, as Rashi's second interpretation, so then maybe it makes a lot of sense why it's written as two columns. And Rashi presents two interpretations. Compared to the Sifrei. The Sifrei tells us, there's a machloikis, who is the Shira directed to? Who is the Musar directed to? To the Umar Sa'ilam, or is it the Klal Yisrael? If it's the Umar Sa'ilam, it will be utter obliteration. So then it makes sense why it should be two columns. They should, the Umas should collapse. If it's the Klal Yisrael, even though it's very harsh, but it has to be interpreted in a way where it's not meant to be that we should chas v'shalom be destroyed, the Musar is what keeps us standing. Then it should be written like all the other Shiras. So something interesting occurred to me, which you have to study, this needs more research. Now, first of all, before we discuss the what I want to mention about Hazinu, what about the Haftorah? This week, what are we going to lay this week? Shiras David. We lay this week a very unique Haftorah. It's only because it's not Shabbos Shira. We lay already Parashas Vayelech Shabbos Shuvah. So therefore, this week we're going to lay Shiras David. Shiras David is printed basically twice in Tanakh, once in Tehillim and once in Sefer Shmuel. When Shmuel, in his own personal life, experienced salvation, he composed the Shira and he sang the Shira to Hashem when he experienced salvation. And then he modified it just slightly for Klal Yisrael to sing when they experience salvation, to be said in Tehillim. There are variations. The variations in Tehillim is for Klal Yisrael. That's a different version, a very slightly different version. And the addition in Sefer Shmuel was David's personal Shira that he sung when he experienced success in his life. Once, like everyone knows, Magdil and Migdol. In Shiras David, it says Migdol, and in Tehillim it says Magdil, if I'm not mistaken, getting confused already. Magdil and Migdal, those, what's one of the differences between Shiras David and Shiras and the Shira in Tehillim? It's the same Shira, just small modifications, one for Klal Yisrael, one for David. Now, how is Shiras David presented on parchment in the Sifrei Nevi'im? When you go to many shuls today have Sifrei Nevi'im. So how is it presented in the Sifrei Nevi'im? So I love to talk about it. We've talked about this many times. There's a disagreement. In the Aleppo Codex, which is accepted to be the most authentic version, edition of Tanakh, with all of its Prateha Vidiktu Keha, there it's presented identical to Hazinu as two columns. However, if you go to Moshul's Shiras David is written like Oz Yoshir, or Riach Al Gabe Levena. Okay, and there's a machloikis between, what they call in Eretz Yisrael, between Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. Minag Yerushalayim is to write, he told the Sofrim to write Shiras David like Oz Yoshir. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, Bnei Brak, he told the Sofrim to follow the Aleppo Codex. And they should write Shiras David as two columns, two separate columns. Okay, so what exactly is Shiras David? What exactly? It's obviously there is, in the way it's presented, there are two minhagim how to write Shiras David. Okay, I don't know. I want to go back to one interesting point, and that is this I noticed. I only noticed this very recently. You look in the article Chumash; it's very good, because the article Chumash, when they show you Shiras Hazinu, they don't show it to you as two perfect columns. If they wanted to justify each column, they could have. In other words, in the Megillah, when you have the Aseres B'nei Haman, they stretch the name. You know, I'm not even sure, but it's basically one word on top of the other. So probably have here the Aseres B'nei Haman, but it's not Mukhbi over here either. How they don't have it. It's not important now. But when you make two columns, you can justify what?
I mean, it's two columns.
Two columns.
Yeah.
Are the names of the Aseres Nehalim perfectly aligned? Well, there it's only one word, so it doesn't really make a difference. The Ace V Asun is aligned. But here, in Hazinu, if you notice, they're not perfectly aligned. Each column itself is Orich HaGavi Levena. Each column is not perfect. There are two columns. There's the column on the left, the column on the right. Is the column on the left perfectly justified like a column of a Sefer Torah, where the words begin in one place, end in the same place? Yeah, and the Sefer Torah, every single column of the Sefer Torah is perfectly aligned in the beginning of the column and the end of the column, the right and the left. Ad kidei kach, that if you go out of the space, it can be puzzled. If you mess up by three letters, all the halachas, it has to be perfect. You're not allowed to go out of the lawn, out of the margins, one ois. So you would expect here in the Chumash, if you look at the Chumash, you see the two columns, it's perfectly aligned, obviously, on the right side, but at the end it's not. It's not perfectly aligned. Why not? Just in a little more space, and then you can go on, you can work it out. You can extend the letters a little bit, and you can make it perfectly straight down on each column. This column perfectly aligned, and this column be perfectly aligned. Why not? So I want to suggest the reason. Now, first of all, who says not? Who says not? Check out your local Sefer Torah. Our Sefer Torah today are not, but there are old Sefer Torah that are aligned perfectly. I wonder what they have in the Aleppo Codex. That would be interesting. What do they have in the Aleppo Codex? But this, to me, appears to be a statement of a peshara between rather the two opinions. The two opinions of Rabbi Nechemia. Who are the two opinions? In Pasuk Mem Gimel, the two opinions were Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. The Machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemya, they argue, is Shiras Hazinu Musr for Klal Yisrael? Or is it Musr for the Umay Sa'olam? If it's Musr for the Umay Sa'olam, we would want them to collapse. It would be written in such a way where they should come to an end. So you would then make two perfectly aligned columns, two perfect columns, which would lend themselves to collapse. But if you want to say that it's Musr for Klal Yisrael, it cannot be that if Hashem gives us Musr, it's meant to destroy us. Cannot be such a thing. The Musr for the Umma Sa'olam is meant for their destruction. That is Pashat Admoed. Musr for Klal Yisrael is not for our destruction. It's Adarab. It's in order to establish us, to make us stronger.
So why is it two columns, according to that sheet?
So, because it's both. Eilu vo'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. We have to present it being two columns, so it should collapse, to present the concept that it's directed towards the Umay So'ilam. And it is the goal that they, the punishment for they've done to Klal Yisrael, to the world, should come upon them, they should collapse. But mitzad sheni, it's Musr for Klal Yisrael. And for us, it's to establish us. So it's not two columns. It's not going to collapse. Each column itself is structured. There's an Ariach al Gabe Levema in each column itself, because it's not justified. It juts out. Having it come out a little here, a little there, is a presentation of structure to tell us there's another opinion, that the Musr of Hazinu is for Klal Yisrael in order to establish us. It's written in a very creative way, Hazim. It's not like the Aseres Bnei Haman and the 31 kings, the 31 kings of Canaan. And you have also another Shira in Koheles, the Eitan, Ace of this, Ace of that, but that's another story. What exactly is that? Those are basically perfect columns. One word on top of the other, that's going to collapse. This is not going to collapse so fast, because there's a presentation of structure. It juts out on both sides. Why? In order to show both opinions of Rashi. The Machloikis and the Sifrei, who is this written for? Is it written for us? Is it written for the Umay Sa'olam? And even the way that it is presented on paper, on parchment, in ink, has a multi-dimensional presentation. There's a multi-dimensional presentation in how it's put on the parchment. On the one hand, it's going to collapse. On the other hand, you can see structure. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. The Musr is for Klal Yisrael, and that will make us stronger and keep us. And the Musr is for the Umay So'ilam. And that will serve for them as a punishment to destroy them for their crimes against Klal Yisrael and humanity.
Opinion that it's both.
That's what I'm trying to do. Everything is both. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Everything in Torah is Eilu the Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. All right, to conclude, I just want to mention is that when we do learn this Shira, it's a very beautiful Shira of David, and it's very apropos for the day after Yom Kippur. Because what is Yom Kippur all about? Survival. Survival. And Vayedaber David LaHashem es divrei Hashira Hazos biyoyim, on the day he tzil Hashem oisa, Hashem saved him. Mikaf, this was David, Mikaf called oiv of all of his enemies, o Mikaf Shaul, and from Shaul HaMelech, who tried to kill him as well, Hashem saved him. There were a lot of people yesterday out against. We don't know what goes on in Shemayim, but there are Mekadrigim, and there's Pamalia Shemayla of Din. And that's why we daven yesterday. That's why we fast. We daven Nisim Esnaf Shosechem. And there's a lot going on. We don't see what goes on. We have emuna pshuta that a lot was taking place yesterday in Shemayim. And Baruch Hashem, we're here today. And you know what that means? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into the court and he gave a clap. And he said to the Mekatrigan, out. Dismissed. L'chaim. It is my decree. Solachti chidvorecha. Vayoymer Hashem. Solachti chidvorecha. All of the Mekatrigan are dismissed. On Shabbos, we sing Hazinu. No complacency. No complacency. But yet, when it comes to the Haftorah, we say to Hashem, thank you for saving us yesterday. Vayidaber David Hashem es divrei Hashira azois b'yoyim hitzil Hashem oisoi mikav kol oiva. Hashem saved us yesterday. And for that, it's worthy to recite the words of Shira to give shevach v'yodah to Hashem. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov. ושמחתו בחגך, והייסו אח שמח. Yes, Hashem, I'll see you all on Chol HaMoed, and everyone should be well and gesund, and enjoy the Yom Tov. Thursday at 10:30.